Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast. I'm Stephanie Laska, best-selling author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto.
And I'm Tamara Snezek, professor of sociology. We believe there are many paths, often unconventional, to achieve your goals. But we get stuck thinking we have to follow experts and fixed set of rules.
Well, as the leader of the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group with over 200,000 members, I see people are hungry for a fresh approach, not just for weight loss, but to help live their very best life. Season 2 of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast will provide lifestyle advice, lots of fun support, and practical tips to help you at home. Because you know what? You don't have to be perfect to be successful. Join us.
As the COVID-19 crisis was developing, I admit, I did not pay attention, even though my mom told me to. After all, as you guys learned in episode 12 last week, I cut my cable to save money. So I had no idea what was going on. Seriously, though, by the time all this really blew up, I went to the store thinking, oh, I'll buy a bottle of hand sanitizer. And I was absolutely floored to discover empty aisles upon aisles at every store I went to. It was like freaking Black Friday times 1,000. Yeah, I was so caught off guard by this crisis. You know what? Honestly, by the time I figured it out, I realized we had no toilet paper.
Oh, no. You and the whole world out of toilet paper.
Well, for real.
I knew what was going on. I had heard, because I have cable. I do listen to the news. So I was hearing, but honestly, I was downplaying in my mind. Like, you don't let your mind go to that this is going to be a, you know, worldwide pandemic. Like, my mind did not go there. So I was also floored when my department head came and said, you might want to start preparing to put your classes online. And then I was like, ooh, this is actually real.
Well, whether it's COVID-19 or some other drastic event, it's expected that you will have some kind of big, enormous obstacle in your path to success. It's just going to happen. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But the question is, how will you respond?
Well, Stephanie, when faced with crisis, people tend to react in one of four ways.
Well, we put them in buckets. That way they're easy to identify.
We love our buckets and Band-Aids.
The first one... I think this might have been me, but you can become an ostrich. You can bury your head in the sand, pretend nothing is happening, and then just continue business as usual.
There's a lot of people doing that. I mean, those are the people who are still going out, you know, in big crowds and partying at spring break.
Yep.
Also, the second type of person is the one kind of the opposite, where they overreact.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, you go completely overboard, like the world is ending and you... you're, you know, hoarding food for months on time and you've given up on your dreams. You're going off grid. I mean, all those things.
Seriously.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of people like that. Like, they don't care. They're maxing out their credit card, just living it up.
Yeah.
Partying every night or travel, you know, even traveling.
Yeah.
I have a friend who just took off to Mexico for a cruise. I'm like, seriously?
Wow. And is that denial or is that overreacting?
I don't know. It's kind of a combination.
Yeah,
of both.
I think so.
Well, the third bucket can be just to become frozen.
Stephanie, this is me.
Well, a lot of us are becoming paralyzed with the situation.
Yes.
And that, you know, it comes about in different ways.
Yeah. I mean, one is you're just staring at social media, like with your eyes glazed over, not doing anything. Yeah. You need to get groceries, but you just don't.
But there's a lot of people who could tell you every cruise ship that's been infected with COVID-19, but they don't know if they have vegetables in their pantry.
Right.
It's
right.
True.
No, it's totally true. And a freeze response is very common.
Very common.
It's mine. The fourth one is what we're calling yellow light mode. And this one is the one probably where you want to be, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's more like caution, common sense.
Yeah. So you don't sit there and do nothing, but you aren't super quick to do something either. Instead, you take a cautious approach like, okay, let me assess. And then based on the assessment, I'll do this, that, and the other thing.
Well, I'm curious what our listeners, what camp they're falling into. You know, there's probably not a right or a wrong answer here. I know for myself, I've definitely been wavering between all four camps all day long. So yeah. Maybe you need a little bit of both. I don't know. But I think we should find out. It's hard to know what to do during a crisis.
It is, because we don't have them that often. So our crisis episode is designed to give you practical strategies you can try at home to help you survive when the poop hits the fan.
I like that. Because it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I mean, if it's not a pandemic, it's, you know, a flood or even just your internet going out for long periods.
Yep.
Storms, whatever.
Computer
happen.
Crashes. Yeah. Things go wrong.
So let's dive into it. But first, we'll take a quick break.
Well, today's podcast is brought to you by my new book, Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rule. And ironically, maybe interestingly, I don't know if I predicted we'd be in such a terrible situation, but I devoted a whole chapter in the book addressing how to handle a crisis. I shared my own personal story about staying on track and bouncing back when I was facing a real huge tragedy with my own health. And that's in chapter 8. I share stories and just tips on what I did to overcome and to stay on track with my weight loss. So links to order Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started and details for the free bonus gift are available at dirtylazyketo.com/book.
Okay, Steph, let's tackle some practical tips to survive during a crisis.
Well, the first one, I know we both struggle with this.
Yeah.
Is that dang social media?
Yes.
I mean, should we limit it or yes. Should we just stare at it all day? I don't know. What do you think?
I did that yesterday and I got nothing done. I mean, I made the mistake of going to work because I'm working at home, but flipping on the TV as background noise
right,
in my
just
mind.
Just to see if right. anything develops.
Right. And then what happens is that and then hearing it over and over again, like, the death toll keep rising. Like yeah. I was like,
and those apps that you can check where you can see how many cases are in each county.
Oh my God. And my anxiety was going up and I finally today, I just kept it off all day. And honestly, it's been helpful. I think I'm not saying hide it. Don't bury your head in the sand, but maybe say I'm going to check in the evening, you know, at whatever, after I've done my work and then turn it off after an hour or something.
So putting some realistic limits.
Yeah. What about like you said, those apps or Facebook or Instagram, are those helpful during this time?
I think it depends on you.
Yeah. And where you go on those apps.
I know there's fake news out there.
Yeah.
It can be tempting to just click on everything.
Yeah.
But maybe just relying on a certain source to trust for your information and then checking it when you feel comfortable.
I know there's been some real supportive ones. Like,
do you have any recommendations?
Well, for teachers, there's one that was started called Pedagogy During a Pandemic. And it was just for teachers on how to move their classes online, help actually reduce my anxieties, give me lots of great knowledge about little tips and tricks. But also, I don't know, what about you? Are there Facebook groups or Instagram groups that are helping you?
I don't know about specific sites for me. The tip I wanted to share is just to set a timer.
Yeah.
I told myself, okay, I can search and look whatever I want, but at a certain time at like 8 a.m., I'm putting it all away.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Because it just keeps sucking me in.
It does. Okay. What's our second tip, Stephanie?
Well, I did this the first day. I had a pity party for myself. Now, I know this sounds weird, but I needed to get it out of the way.
Yeah.
I needed a pity party to just be sad and upset and worried. And I spent the whole day doing nothing. I did absolutely nothing but be sad.
Yeah.
And I binge watched a bunch of horrible TV shows like the pandemic and the virus and the this and the zombie that. And I watched them all. And then I got it out of my system.
Yeah.
So that's what
you
I
just can't get stuck there.
No, I scheduled it for the day. I said this whole day, I'm going to do no work except be sad and worried and stressed.
So you have to acknowledge your feelings.
I didn't even do that. I just said pity party.
Well,
but I like your idea.
I say acknowledge your feelings and then set a time, like you said, and then, okay, experience the feelings, but then make a time when you're like, okay, now I have to get back to work. Cause my reaction was first freak out, like freak out, wringing my hands. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Cause I can't put all my classes online. I can't homeschool my child. Oh, ringing. So, and then I remember my husband calling, he goes, oh, you're freaking out. And he goes, kind of like, stop. And I'm like, no, I need to freak out.
Oh,
I said, I need to freak out.
Kind of like me with the pity party. Yeah. You needed to feel the feelings.
I did.
And just get it all out.
And then, you know, and then I said the next day, like you, I kind of was like a day.
Uh-huh.
And the next day I'm like, okay, I started to freak out. And I'm like, no, I'm done with that.
Done with it.
Got to make a plan. Yep.
I really like that.
Which is our next point, right?
Let's hear it.
Well, you take stock of what's going on. What's going well, not wrong, sorry. And focus on reframing the situation.
You know, for me, that's been very helpful. Yeah. You know, I'm always like the Mary Poppins that likes to look at the positive. I think that helps me. But, like, for example, thinking, okay, my kids are off school. I have to work from home. That sounds like a nightmare. But let's reframe it. Like, maybe it could be romantic in a way where we get our relationships back on track. Maybe I can bond more with my kids. You know, maybe I can eat all the food that's been in my pantry for like 2 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I just started to reframe. I could take up maybe a couple different hobbies I've been neglecting, feel more organized. My son's been wanting to learn to cook, so we could do that together.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to re-look at it in a positive light.
I think that's a great idea. And it's because it's easy to focus too much on the negative.
Yeah.
And then you just get depressed and horrible. And there are some positive things, like you said, you mentioned those. Mine too. I'm learning new online skills, which is great. I'm getting more time with my daughter. Same thing. Yeah.
It can be a positive thing.
Yeah. So focus on those.
Something that has, I think, saved me in the last week. Not like it. I mean, the last week feels like a year, doesn't it?
It does. Everything has happened so
fast. Every day is like, oh my goodness.
Oh, back in the old days when we had toilet paper.
Right? Back in last century.
Yeah.
But something that comforts me during any type of crisis is focusing on a routine.
Yeah.
And so for me, what that looks like is, you know, doing the same things I do every day, even when it doesn't feel necessary.
Yeah.
So I'm getting up, and even though I'm not going to work, like outside of the house, I'm still showering. I'm still taking care of myself. I'm still putting on makeup. I just feel like those kind of routines keep me feeling centered. I also am doing my same celery. You guys laugh at my celery. Like I eat a pound of celery every day. Almost as probably yes. Okay, I will admit it. I eat a whole pound of celery every day. So I'm still making my celery. I'm putting it in my Ziploc bag, and I'm eating it as I do my chores in the house instead of in the car.
Yeah.
But it's comforting to me to still keep that routine up.
Yeah, especially your eating routines, because I think that's the first thing people – it's an excuse like, oh, I have to hoard food. And then I've seen a lot of funny memes about how they've eaten all of their Corona snacks already because they had built up, you know, a supply of. So, yeah, your eating routine, your exercise.
And exercise, just all that, like keeping the same
your bedtime,
schedule.
Yes, everything.
The bedtime, too. Last night, my son wanted to go to bed at, you know, late.
Right.
And I'm like, no, we're going to go to bed at the same time, get up at the same time. Because keeping that routine keeps the sanity and your health and your focus.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, your next tip you had was avoid the deadly sweat pats. Explain what you mean by that.
I think we might have a fist fight that's going to break out. I love it.
Because Stephanie, I am enjoying wearing my sweatpants. In fact, I was saying just before the podcast that not only do I love my sweatpants, but I think I've worn the same sweatpants
for
several days in a row.
You go, Tamara. Well, you know what? I think everyone has to do what's right for them. And so that's what's helpful about our podcast.
Yeah.
We offer really lazy tips that are unconventional.
Right? Right.
And so if for you, wearing your sweatpants makes you feel safe and comfortable in a time where nothing seems safe and comfortable, then you should do that.
Yeah.
For me, the reason I wrote down this as a tip is when I start to put on the sweatpants or stop taking care of like the way I look, I start behaving in a way that doesn't support my health goals.
Yeah.
So if I'm not like, let's say, putting on makeup or washing my hair, then I also won't go exercise.
Yeah.
Or eat celery because I just stop caring.
Yeah.
So that's why I suggested that.
Yeah, you have to know yourself.
You have to know yourself.
And for me, wearing sweatpants is one of the positives of not going to work. Like, woohoo, I don't have to wear a bra. I don't have to wear makeup. I don't have to necessarily, you know, do all those things that I have to do. So for me, yeah, it's not about letting go as much as it is being free of, you know, the burden that I have from work.
And it sounds like self-care for you.
It is. Yeah.
Because you're comforting yourself.
I am. Like, okay, you don't have, you know, this is where you can save time and energy, you know, if I had been going to work.
So do what works for you, listeners.
Yeah. Do you want to wear your
sweatpants or not? Bra or not.
Right. Okay. Our next one is to brainstorm how you can be flexible. Think outside the box.
What I meant by that was, like, a lot of us were used to certain things. Like, oh, I only like non-dairy almond milk unsweetened. Like, this is my daughter. Like, she has to have this one particular brand.
Yeah.
Well, in this particular instance with the crisis, we're not going to go shopping every 3 days to buy fresh this or that.
And it may not be there if you do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, Tamara, things are selling out.
They are.
Or they're out of stock or unavailable.
Yeah.
So I'm being challenged to think outside the box with food, with exercise, with work.
Yeah.
With family, with everything.
Yeah. This has been my big challenge, mostly for work, because I have to go online, and that's made me have to use some really creative solutions for things. And I'm finding, like, yesterday I found myself getting really, really frustrated because I couldn't do something exactly the way I do in class. And I had to tell myself, stop, this isn't in-person class. It's going to be different. So jump into something new. But that whole flexibility thing, it was hard. And my students are challenged to be flexible during this time.
That's a great point.
Yeah, you have to. You have no choice.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, another item we have on here is to prioritize self-care. And I mean, this is a theme for every episode I think we've done is, you know.
But it's the truth. I mean, isn't that like really the whole crux?
Yes.
Crux of being like a dirty, lazy girl is taking care of yourself first.
And I think in crisis, that's the first thing that goes.
You're right.
Yeah. So you have to make special efforts to actually put it there at the top. You know, like, you know, when you go get your groceries, make sure you get whatever you need for, you know, your bubble bath or whatever.
Right.
Whatever
you can. Too.
Yeah.
There's a lady in our Facebook group who was talking about she's the primary caregiver now for not only all of her kids that are at home, but also her elderly parents. And she was feeling really overwhelmed and talking about how there's no time for herself because she's caring for all these other people.
Yeah.
And what went through my mind, that's why I added this to the list, is I thought for that lady in particular, she has to put herself first.
She has to.
Before she can do a good job with those kids or her parents.
Yeah.
There's no way she's going to be able to take care of anyone if she can't take care of herself first.
I know this is an overused metaphor, but it's that airline one where you put the mask over your face before someone else because you can't, you'll fall apart in a crisis.
She'll go down.
You will go down, whether it be sickness or just mentally or whatever. Mm-hmm. You'll just start falling apart.
You got to do yourself
and
first,
that's, we have to take the other tip of being flexible. You have to be flexible through your self-care. Like, you can't go out and get a massage now.
Nope.
Because that's not social distancing.
No, there's no touching.
So, you know.
No, you're right. You have yourself, to be flexible and think of new ways that you could.
Right. Go buy a massager or have your husband do it. Something.
And it just even being in your house.
Yeah.
I know it's been a challenge with the whole family in the house that you don't have space.
No. And that's self-care that I need for sure.
You have to find somewhere in the house that people can't see you or find you or put your headphones in.
Yes.
For real.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Or go take a walk too.
Take a walk, right? Getting outside.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Two more tips. The first one is ask for help. Team up to get through a crisis. I mean, this is like what we see on the news is crisis does bring people together. That's kind of you see the good, you see the bad in people, but you also see the good in people. And the good thing is that people are willing to help and give you a hand.
And take the initiative. Like yesterday I was texting my neighbors to say, hey, if you guys need a supply, let me know.
Oh.
Because if I don't have it, maybe I know someone who does.
Wow, that was great. I wish my neighbor did that.
I'm all hoping they offer their toilet paper. But the truth is, you've got to take initiative, because people tend to think survival of the fittest. But no, it's not. It's it's about getting through this together.
Yeah, check on your elderly neighbors, especially. I've been in stores and I've seen some real sweet people doing sweet things, like, you know, you get two toilet papers, and I saw a guy hand it to one of his to another person.
Just, I need to shop where you shop. I know. I'm not seeing that. I had a lady almost digging through my cart because she thought I had hand sanitizer, but it was soap. And I was at the freezer, and I turned around, and she had her hands in my cart.
Oh my gosh! See, you do see the bad stuff. But I've been taking initiative with my work. Like, I have a girlfriend. I feel bad because I'm calling her constantly, going, "Okay, how do you upload this online? And how do you do that and do that?" And she's been so sweet about just patiently walking me through this stuff. And I found that most of my colleagues are welcoming that kind of thing because they know they'll need help later.
And I think just talking to people on the phone and getting together, it makes people feel good.
Yeah. You need each other.
We're social creatures. We may not be able to touch or get close. Like, Tamara and I are recording 6 feet across from one another, across a very long dining room table.
Yes.
But you have to have friends and family. You have to communicate, or else you're going to feel really isolated during a crisis.
You are.
Of any kind.
And then you won't handle the crisis as well.
Yeah.
And don't be afraid to lean on someone if you do get sick, you know, reach out for help. People can help, you know, deliver meals, just leave it on your doorstep or whatever.
Control what you can. I mean,
that's our last tip.
Really, this is any kind of crisis. You can't change the world, especially all at once. So just looking at what's in front of you, control the small pieces that you can.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And that's all you can do.
And just take one moment at a time.
Yeah. So listeners, what strategies do you have to survive or even thrive during the COVID-19 situation? Tell us your story by emailing Stephanie at dirtylazy.keto.com or via Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Lazy Keto. Before we get to our final hack, let's take a final break.
Well, Tamara, during times of stress, I think it's very easy to revert back to old ways of comforting ourselves. For a lot of people, that means eating high-carb snacks. And I agree, sometimes it's hard to remember when you're really stressed out about what it is that you could eat that's better for you. So to help make choices easier, my new book has a 15-page grocery list of 250 recommended foods. Every food item includes the net carb count. And I looked up each one in like 6 different places to get the most accurate information for you. So it's all in one place. Pre-order your copy of Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules, How I Lost 140 Pounds, and you will also receive a free color fridge magnet of the Dirty Lazy Keto Food Pyramid while supplies last. Links to order and redeem your free bonus gift are available on the website, dirtylazyketo.com/books.
Thank you, Stephanie. Now, how about our hacks?
Well, this one may seem obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway. Your gym may have closed, but the sidewalk is still open and it's free. I force myself to go outside every day, at least to take my dog for a walk. And I've been saddened to discover only about 3 to 5 people in my neighborhood that are out. Aww. Like, literally no one is out. I think everyone is watching the news. So if you need accountability, I know that a lot of people find the gym helps them because they have a friend there or a group or a class. But there's another way. You could text a friend when you finish exercising. You could meet a friend as long as you walk far apart. Mm-hmm. My daughter is actually scheduling group chats with her friends to do core workouts on video chats.
Oh, nice.
So there's different ways you can do it, but keep up the exercise. Yeah. I think it really helps manage the stress and anxiety during a crisis.
Exactly. My hack I'm going to borrow from Mr. Rogers. Remember Mr. Rogers on PBS? He told children in crisis that you should look for the helpers. And what he meant was that even you know, as we said before, there are people who are doing bad or negative things, but there's always people doing really kind, brave, wonderful things to help other people. And so I guess it's another version of just focus on the positive is by looking to not only to other people who help, but then ways that you can help so that you turn this into like a really good thing where you become connected to other people. So focus on the connection and how you can help.
I want to sing the song. Da-da-da-da neighborhood.
Won't you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
So listeners, there will always be obstacles in your path. Some are tiny, some are big. This is true. But your attitude doesn't have to change. Empower yourself to find another way.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast.
And don't forget to visit dirtylazyketo.com where you can join the conversation and gain access to all kinds of free content to help you on your dirty lazy journey.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider supporting us by subscribing, rating, and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to stay tuned for our next Dirty Lazy Girl podcast where we give you even more tips and support.
You don't have to be perfect to be successful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.